A little undaunting to be standing here the first time in this space, taking that little step up, which I tripped over yesterday when I came into practice. But no injury, just to my ego. And I'm pleased that my first 4 weeks here, can you believe it, 4 weeks already, has gone by just like, you know, that. How time flies when we're having a lot of fun. I invite you to join me in prayer. Source of all wisdom and understanding, pour out on us the spirit of insight so that our hearts, minds, and souls may be open to receive your word. And we then go into the world renewed as disciples of your holy and blessed child, the one who calls us to follow. Amen. Well, as you heard Emma read from the Gospel of Luke, you might have guessed that my first message would be on possessions and almsgiving. Well, are we really ready for that type of meditation on my first Sunday? I'm just kidding. Although I might mention a few times during the message something about possessions. That is a first read or listen to the gospel lesson for today. There's a mix of directives from the Gospel of Luke in the 12th chapter. Be not afraid. Share your fortune. Be prepared. Now, they're not all that bad. However, a bit confusing and troubling if we don't delve into where the sacred text was going and the overall message that the writer is trying to convey to us. You know, a little confusing, just like the current times in our society, both here in Canada and the United States and other places in the world. Confusing, as we don't know some days what might be the right or wrong in our society. What is the real news and the fake news? But I really wanted to hear this text this week and the hopeful message of God speaking to Abram in the Genesis reading and also in the Gospel of Luke, because there are so many disturbing moments in the various places around the world. In Hong Kong, where the people are raising their voices against the local authorities who want criminal trials to now be held in mainland China. A fear for those in Hong Kong whose loved ones, once accused, would get shipped over to the mainland and they may never see them again. Then, of course, the very sad news from El Paso, Texas, last weekend, Dayton, Ohio, even in our own communities of Vaughan, and just another shooting here in Toronto, I think it was last night. You know, things like mass shootings might happen in the United States of America, but here in our own great city, last weekend alone, there were 17 people shot. Maybe not in a mass shooting, but in 14 different incidents across the city. It's tragic. It's upsetting. And it's deeply disturbing what's happening in our society. We do become fearful. And Jesus responds, as the writer of Luke says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." In the times of Luke, and for those that were the followers of Jesus Christ, it was difficult for anyone to get the followers to follow, you know, what the words of Jesus Christ really meant in their lives. You know, we know about that in Paul's letters that he wrote as well. That he wrote to the various communities. He was saying to them, there is a new way, just like Luke is saying to us. There is a new way through the Messiah, the chosen one. There is a new way to the promise of the kingdom of heaven. It's definitely God's comforting embrace that waits for each of us, no matter how fearful we become in our human existence. And fearful is who we become in our days as we turn to our favorite news channel, whether it be the CBC or CTV or CNN or Fox News. You know, we become fearful of what's going on in our society. Many times, and I think back to the ancient times, what we know of the history of society in the world at the time of Christ and the time of the writer of Luke, the majority of the people were fearful of the Romans, the taxes that were demanded of them, the racism of their time. If you were not of their tribe, you were cast aside. And many, the majority of society, was struggling just to make enough money to survive. It may seem that history is repeating itself in our current times, as many today do not like the government at all levels of government. How many of us really like taxation? Taxation just about on everything, except the air that we breathe. The racist times that we live in, and the many folks that are in precarious employment situations who are just trying to make a living, to find affordable accommodations here in the GTA. And not to mention all those that are homeless for various reasons. So what's all this really about? Being afraid of, and then God's good pleasure for us, for each of us, and the kingdom. Luke does hint to us how it can be achieved in the remainder of the passage for today. It's like the formula for success, and many of us love to figure out that formula for success. If it came down to us, you think of the billions of dollars that we've spent on books and all sorts of things in order to make our lives happier and successful. How we can overcome adversity, and in our society, then we receive God's greatest wish for us all, the good pleasure of the kingdom. I mean, really, do not be afraid. Sell your possessions. You must be ready. Now, if that's how I led off this morning, you'd say, who did we hire as our associate minister? Because these feel like more like catchphrases than anything serious that we would want to consider today. Except there really is one phrase in all of the passage that Emma read that is easily overlooked, that changes everything for us. It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I've been saying it throughout my message this morning, and more likely than needs to be repeated. God doesn't just want us to give us some good things. God doesn't just hope we do all right. God isn't sitting around waiting for us to earn God's favor or watching to make sure we toe the line. Rather, God wants to give us the kingdom and all good things. In fact, Jesus says, It's your Father's good pleasure. That is really, really wants to give us the kingdom and all good things. Which of course changes everything when we hear and we heed what Jesus is saying. Now that's the good news for you and me and all those that hear those that little phrase in there. But often we miss the point of this in the text. We get stuck on the aphorisms of fear not and sell your possessions. Who does he think he is to tell me to do that? We are reminded of our Christian heritage. Those that are called to follow are to help the poor, the elderly, the widows, the marginalized, the oppressed. And in those ancient days, they did it all by almsgiving. There was no social welfare system. Almsgiving was the social welfare system of the day. Anchored by the promise that God wants to give us good things, we see and hear these commands differently. Be not afraid. Sell your possessions. Be ready. God wants us not to be troubled by worries, wants us to keep our priorities straightened out, wants us not to be consumed by greed or love of those things that do not bring real happiness. Rather, God wants us to have and enjoy and share the abundant life that comes from authentic community and right relationship with God and with each other. As for being prepared for the coming kingdom, Jesus doesn't want us to miss when God comes in ways that might surprise us, in generosity instead of accumulation, in respect and right relationship in our community, instead of looking just out for ourselves, in vulnerability and relationship rather than in strength. It's easy to miss that God who comes in love and grace when we all expect is law and punishment. Even when we recognize that God's gracious motivation changes the way that we hear these commands, we have to admit that it's still hard to keep. We ask ourselves, why? Why is it so hard to give up fearing? Why is it so hard to give up our possessions to help those in need? Why is it so hard to prepare for the coming of Christ? Reverend Dr. David Laus, the past president of the Lutheran Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, answers that why question this way. Maybe it's because so much of the rest of our lives are filled by demands both great and small. Like the demand to accumulate more and more in exchange for a false sense of security. Or the demand to prove your worth day in and day out. Or the demand to worry about innumerable things because we've been convinced that we are always at risk. In this kind of climate, it's hard to trust God's promises and give over our worries and live more fully and generously. I think we have a task before us this week and the weeks to come, my friends. It's twofold. First, let us tell ourselves clearly the promise that God wants us to give us all good things and reframe the affirmations of the passage from Luke as the means by which God helps us to live more fully and abundantly. Secondly, recognizing that the culture we live in often works against these affirmations. Let us see our faith community as the place where we can be encouraged in our Christian faith and equipped to receive and live in the abundant life that is meant for us. Now, Martin Luther, the great reformist, once described the church as a place of conversation and consolation of the faithful. I think there's so much truth in that. And so maybe it's time for us to live into his vision more fully. It's time for us to hear, to believe, and to live into God's promise. That God wants us, the kingdom, and all good things, not eventually, but right here, right now. By living into that reality of the promise of God's good pleasure for each of us and all good things, we are reminded that it's okay to be fearful when appropriate, to give our possessions to assist others, and to make ready for Jesus to be the one and all in our lives, the one to follow. Will you come and follow me? Making ready by what we do and by our faith. Making ready, as former President Jimmy Carter is quoted as saying, unfortunately, I couldn't find a Canadian person that would say something like this. I looked high and low. But Jimmy Carter says, we should live our lives though Christ was coming this afternoon. And when we think about that, we think about his words, we should live our lives as though Christ was coming this afternoon. Everything changes for us. In doing so, friends, it is through our hearing, our abiding, our words and our actions that God is, in fact, giving us the kingdom right here, right now, and forever. And I say thanks be to God. Amen.